Welcome to the Calvary Assembly Podcast, with weekly messages from the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Lexington, Nebraska. You can find out more online at lexag.org and on Facebook at Calvary Assembly Lex. Thanks for listening.
Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 16. We started a new message series last week. If you weren't here, you can catch it online. But we're talking about how to deal with difficult people God's way. There are lots of ways to deal with difficult people. We want to deal with difficult people God's way, you know, not the vengeance way. And so we've been talked last week about how to deal with people who are overly critical and how to learn from criticism and how to handle illegitimate criticism. Today we're going to talk about how to deal with people who like to control us. So there was a story about a guy who was kind of struggling in life. He didn't really know where he wanted to go, so he decided he wanted to become a monk. So he went to a monastery and he signed up, said, "I want to be a monk." They said, "All right," and they gave him his room. They said, "You're going to do this. This is your labor." So at the end of his first year, he found a little door that he'd never seen before, and it was locked. And so he went to the head monk and he said, "Hey, what's behind this door?" And he says, "Well, I can't tell you because you're not a monk." He said, "Well, I've been here a year." He said, "No, you're just an apprentice. So when you become a monk, you'll be able to know what's behind the door." So on the anniversary of his first year, he said, "Okay, now I'm a monk." They said, "No, you're apprentice level two." And so he said, so he waited. At the end of his third year, it was driving him crazy. He said, "I want to know what's behind this door." At the end of his third year, they said, "Okay, now you're officially a monk. We can give you the key." So he got excited. He opened the door, and there was another door behind that one, which was locked. And they said, "When you hit your five-year anniversary, you can have the key to that door, because then you'll be a master monk." So he said, "All right." So he waited two more years. He worked and he sweated and he was driving him crazy. He kept thinking, what could be behind? It could be treasure behind the door. It could be, you know, a nicer bathroom behind the door. It could be something great. On his five-year anniversary, he said, "Give me the stinking key. I want to see what's behind there." And he opened the door, but I can't tell you what it is because you're not a monk. So some of you are going to go crazy because you want to be in charge. You want to know what's behind there, right? How many of you are people who like to be in control? Anyone, honest people in here, I like to be in charge, yeah. How many of you like being told what to do? You would just rather be low level and just do whatever. Yeah, both are necessary. Well, in life, many of us are going to have people in our lives who want to control us. They want to tell us what to do. Now, sometimes those are called parents, and that's a good thing, right? Until you hit a certain age, you need to be told what to do, right? Some of those are bosses, that's a good thing, right? But there are some people who want to control what we do. They want to keep us from doing the things that we're called to do because they want to be in control. And believe it or not, Jesus actually ran into this in his life. So if you open to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to look in verse 21. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. It says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead." Now, if you're a disciple, what is this news saying to you? Things are about to change, right? We've been following Jesus. We've been doing miracles with Jesus. We've been spreading the word. People love us. They love Jesus. This has been amazing, and now things are about to change. And so they loved him. They were following him. They were with him every single day. But then it says in verse 22, "But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. 'Heaven forbid, Lord,' he said, 'this will never happen to you.'" Jesus was excited, right? Because he was showing care for him? No. If you've read it before, you know how it goes. It says, "Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get away from me,'" what? "Satan. 'Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Now, this has always been a really interesting passage to me because I always think Jesus is a little harsh with Peter, right? I mean, he's saying, no, he doesn't want you to suffer. But Jesus says, you're not looking at this from God's point of view. You're looking at it from your point of view. And guys, in our lives, there are people who might try to control us. They might be telling us all the time what to do, what not to do, trying to direct us, trying to tell us where our future should be, where what we should do. And it's because they're afraid. Sometimes it's because they're jealous. Sometimes it's because they genuinely care. But other times, those motivations might be what? Selfish. Why was Peter saying this? Jesus knew his heart. Peter said, "I don't want to lose this." I don't want to lose this position that I have with you. I don't want to lose how things are going. And guys, sometimes there are people in your life who might have the same motivation. I don't want to lose this comfortable situation we're in. I don't want you to grow. I don't want you to change. I don't want you to go off to college. I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to take this new job because then things are going to change. So what can we do? What can we do when we have people in our lives who are motivated by control? Well, the first thing we do is we understand our calling. What does that mean? Well, we discover that a clearly defined calling keeps us on track. When I know what God has called me to do, I know what I'm being controlled. And I know when people are trying to keep me from doing what God wants me to do. And this is where Jesus was. He said, Peter, you are a what? He said, you're a dangerous trap to me. If I follow what you're telling me right now, I'm not going to accomplish God's purpose. Even though your motivations might be pure, you're going to keep me from doing what God wants. And guys, some of you might be in a situation where God is calling you to take a step of faith. God's asking you to do something different, and people in your life might say, no, because I don't want things to change. I don't want you moving out. I don't want you changing jobs. I don't want you, but we have to know what it is. So what is God calling us? I found this quote by Craig Groeschel. He says, when you know what you're called to do, it creates clarity. I like that. When we know what God is asking us to do, it's clear where we should be. So what is God asking you to do in this phase of life? Because God's call on our life changes over time, doesn't it? His main call is follow me, but he has different assignments. Some stage in your life, you might be called to be a parent to teenagers. At some stage in life, you might be called to be a grandparent. At some stage in life, you might be called to be a student. So what does it mean? Well, it may not seem super spiritual, but we're called to love our spouse. We're called to lead our family. We're called to raise our kids. We're called to be a witness for Christ in our world. So in those callings, those different assignments, what is God asking you to do? Well, we have to follow that. So what has God gifted you to do? Some of you are incredibly gifted musicians. There's some of you out there that we're going to be coming after because we found out you're musicians. And we say, hey, do you want to help? You might be gifted to work. I'll tell you what, guys, I found when I was in Bible college, I really struggled because I went to Bible college as a pretty new Christian. I'd been a Christian for about 2 years when I went to Bible college. And so all these guys have been raised in church their entire lives. I can't sing. If you sit around me, you know, I cannot sing well. I can sing. I just can't sing very well, right? I'm not super crafty. I'm not super artsy. I struggled to find my spot. And I realized one day I went on a missions trip. We were going to Detroit. And we got there, we're thinking, this is going to be awesome. The church was in an old skating rink. And they had taken, you remember that block wall that was around skating rinks all the time? They had taken that out, and the pastor handed us sledgehammers and said, I need you to turn this into gravel. Wow. Well, you know what? I found my lane, because I know how to work. I grew up on a farm. I'm like, this is awesome. And these other kids are like, oh, this is horrible. I was like, no, I can do this. I realized that one of my giftings is work. It sounds very unspiritual, but they're like, we need guys like you that can bust rocks into gravel. I was like, I'm your man, let's go, right? I found out I was good at helping with sound. I was helping run cables and all those things, and people say, no, this doesn't sound very spiritual, but that's a gift. So guys, some of you have gifts like that are not as open. They may not be as upfront. Some of you are gifted speakers. Some of you are gifted teachers. So here's the deal. What are we gifted for? And what are we passionate about? And a lot of times when you find what you're good at and what you're passionate at, that's what God is calling you to do. And then that changes in different seasons, but you need to define what is it that God has called me to do right now. And I need to know that because this is where I'm at. And Jesus has pointed this ministry right now. He said, God has called me to give my life. He had been teaching. He had been healing. He'd been raising from the dead. He said, right now, my calling, my assignment at this moment is to give my life. And I know, Peter, you don't like it, but you're a trap to me if you don't allow me to do this. And so, guys, we need to know where God is calling us. What is he calling us to do? That mission keeps us focused. And then this is the harder one. We discover that being a people pleaser can distract us from that calling. When we find what God's asking us to do, sometimes those of us who are people pleasers, it's hard because we make people upset. Some of you are realizing that in different stages of life. Sometimes we just have to be that person that says, hey, sorry about your luck, but I got to do this. This is where God is calling me. I love you, but this is what God is asking me to do. We want people to like us. We want people to be happy, but guys, it can be a trap for us who are people pleasers because we can be more concerned about keeping people happy than following God's plan. We can be more concerned about making peace than following Christ in that moment. And so we need to make sure that we know what we're doing, what we're called to do. So I've had to understand in my own life, I am a horrible people pleaser. Guys, literally, when people are upset with me, like I get physically like sick. Like, oh, that person's mad at me and I have a hard time sleeping and I'm wanting to make peace. And I've learned sometimes you just have to say, sorry, but this is the way it is. And so I've had people ask me to serve on boards and serve on different things, and I've had to learn to say no. That no is an amazing word. No frees up time. I've learned that no is an amazing thing, but I've had to learn how to say that because I realize I can't do everything. And guys, you have to realize you can't do everything. Unless your pastor asks you, then just say yes. No, that's a joke. We need Sunday school teachers. No, I'm kidding. But we have to learn. And so what I had to do, I had to have Amy help me. I made a list. These are the things God's called me to do, and this is what's most important. Most important is following Christ. Second most important is loving my wife. Third is loving my kids and raising them, right? And then it's pastor and then presbyter and firefighter, all these things. And I just made this list, and I just said, if it doesn't make the cut, sorry, you're out. But that clarity helped me focus. And so some of you need to do that. Some of you even right now, start writing down things. This is what God has called me to do. In this season, I'm called to parent my kids. In this season, I'm called to be a good worker. In this season, I'm called to do this. And then we look. I wish I could be everything. I wish I could do everything that people want me to do, but I've had to say no, because this is what God has called me to do. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Christ. And we discover that people can only control us, guys, if we allow them to. Do you realize that? People can't exercise control in our lives unless we give them that ability. Because we can say no. We can say no. But oftentimes we give them that. And so a lot of times people who want to control us, people who want to direct us, are doing that because there's something going on in their life that they need to work on. And I mentioned it last week. Gary Thomas wrote a book called When to Walk Away. And he talks about toxic people. We talked about that a little bit last week. But there are some people in our lives that we label as toxic because they don't have good intentions. They have what? Hurtful intentions. And sometimes those toxic people, we have to say, I can't be with you right now until you get this fixed. I can't be your friend. Until you get this fixed, I can't live in your house until we get this. And a lot of times they're ruled by selfishness and spite. There are people who are draining instead of encouraging. There are people who use instead of love. There are people who are addicted to righteousness and rash judgments. And they fight with people instead of appreciating people. And a lot of times these people are healthy of other people's peace, or jealous of other healthy people's peace. And they seem to bring people down to their level of misery instead of bringing people up. You ever met anyone like that? I'm miserable, so I want you to be miserable. And I'm going to do everything in my power to do that. And we want to help these people, right? But sometimes the only way to help them is to what? Give them space and say, I can't be with you right now. I can't allow that in my life. And I've had this, guys. I've had to do this with friends. I've had to say, you know what? I love you. And I pray for you, and I want you to get better, but until we get this fixed, I can't be with you because you drain me. You bring me down, and I don't like the way I am when I'm around you. And I put in your notes there are three things that he says identify toxic people. He says they have a murderous spirit. They want to kill things, not kill people necessarily. If they kill people, talk, right? There's another number you need to call. If they have a controlling nature, they want to control everything around them. If you're not doing what makes me happy, I'm going to throw fits until you do. And a heart that loves to hate. He said typically they're going to have at least one of those things. And that's when you realize this person is not just a problem. This person is toxic and they need help. They need, most of the time, these people need counseling to get better. And we can help them. I've even offered to drive people. I will drive you to the counselor. I will sit in that office with you while you go in because I want you to get better. And guys, most of the time, toxic people know they're toxic. It's not a surprise when you say that. Oh, wait, really? They usually know, but they just don't know how to get better. And they need someone to help them. And so sometimes the most loving thing we can do is put them out there. Tell them, I want to help you. But we can't label every difficult person as toxic. Don't walk around, toxic, 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 right? There's not that many of them. Don't be that, all right? But we have an issue, and here's the thing. If I allow a toxic person to control me, guess where the issue is? It's with me, because I'm allowing it. And a lot of times, I allow that person's control to be an excuse. Well, I can't do what God's asked me to do because this person wouldn't like it. No. Jesus' best friend said, hey, you can't do that. And he said, what? I have to. I have to do this. So, the second thing, we recognize that when we're being controlled and we have to respond accordingly. So if I'm realizing that I am being controlled, I have to do something about it. The ball is in my court to take action on that. And so we have to understand the motivation behind the control. Why are they trying to control me? Jesus said, Peter, you're being selfish. You're a good friend, you're a good disciple, but you've allowed selfishness to creep in, and we can't have that. So we're going to have people in our lives, most of the time, they just don't understand. And we're trying to take a step of faith. I know people who have said, hey, I feel like God's called me to do full-time ministry. I feel like God has put his hand on me to do this, but my parents just won't let me go to college. They want me to do this. Or my spouse doesn't want to do this. They don't like that. And so I have to say, well, you have to pray over that. You have to think through this. Why are they doing this? So you should be doing this, or you should be doing that. You should be here. So sometimes they just simply don't understand. And what it is they judge our actions through their lens, through what they're looking at. And we have to recognize the impact of giving up control. If I'm allowing someone to control me, what am I giving up? Because every time I say yes to a controller, I'm saying no to something else. So what are we giving up? If I'm allowing that person to control me, if I'm allowing them to keep me from doing what God is asking me to do, what am I giving up? And usually, it's God's best, right? Usually when I'm saying no because this person is controlling me, God's saying, I have something so good for you, but you've got to take a step of faith. And guys, here's the thing. When I'm saying no to someone controlling me, it doesn't mean I'm leaving them completely out of my life. I'm just saying, I can't allow you to make decisions for me anymore. I have to follow what God is saying, and I want you to come with me. Unless they're toxic, and they say, let's get you fixed, and then you come, right? So what am I giving up? They might be trying to get us to settle for less than God's best. And so here's one of the things I've seen. When someone is toxic, when someone's not well, and they're controlling someone else, a lot of times, you know what they're keeping that person from? Good influences. They're keeping them from growing. They're trying to keep that person in that area where they want them because they're comfortable there. And I've seen it, guys. I've seen it when people say, you know what? I'm not going to allow you to control me anymore. I'm going to follow God's plan. And then this person gets better in the process because they grow. They say, wow, I see what God's doing in you, and I want part of that too. I've seen students who give their lives to Christ, and their parents say, no, you can't do that. And eventually they say, you know what? I want that joy that you have. I want that peace that you have. And then they follow Christ too. So, but what are we giving up? And we have to decide when it's time to respond. We have to understand when we're in an unhealthy place. But here's the thing. Should be in your notes. Write it down. Your notes are in the bulletin there. But every relationship that we have in our lives is a product of what we've created and what we've allowed. Every relationship is a product of what we've created and what we've allowed. If that relationship is unhealthy, guess what? We helped it get there. We allowed it to get there. And so sometimes we have to step out of that and say, hey, look, this is not good. I had friends in high school, and I realized when I gave my life to Christ as a 16-year-old, I had really great friends. I love them, still do to this day. But when we were together, we were stupid, right? We made really bad choices. And I remember one day I was standing in a parking lot with my friends, and we were hanging out, and there was a guy doing something, and we yelled something, and he came over, and we almost got in a fight. And I realized, what am I doing? Like, I don't need to be here. I'm smarter than this. And I was like, guys, why are we yelling at people in cars? Like, this is not smart. Well, I don't know. So I said, I got to get better friends, like smarter friends. And so we got smarter together. We decided to do better things. But I just realized I can't be with these people because when I do, I'm not making great choices. It was something that I had what? Allowed. So we have to take back that permission. And when we're being controlled by someone, we give them that power in our lives. And we just say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. So now, here's the thing, guys. If you're with someone who's physically controlling you, they're physically hurting you, you need to get help. Don't stay in that. But if you're with someone who's just controlling by their words and by their actions, we can fix that. We can get out of that. So how do we do that? Well, here's the thing. We have to change what we expect and what we accept. We change what we expect and what we accept. So the first thing is we have to define what we will accept, all right? I love you, but I am not going to allow you to talk to me that way anymore. I love you, but we're not going to allow that word in this relationship anymore. Because, guys, I know people who are married, and you know how their spouse controls them? The divorce word. If you don't do what I want, we're going to get divorced. And they finally, people had to say, you know what? We're not going to use that anymore. That's not healthy. We're going to find better ways. We're going to find counseling and find better ways to do this. All right? I'm not going to bail you out of jail again. My dad fixed that really easily when I was a kid. He was a police officer, and he said, if you go to jail, don't call. His thing was, if you're dumb enough to get in, you're dumb enough to stay. And that was his parenting. It worked. I was terrified. But I'm not going to bail you out again. I'm not going to let you act that way anymore. I'm not going to bail you out financially anymore. We can't do this. We have to get healthy, right? So we define what we will accept. And guys, sometimes when we start taking that control away, you know what they're going to do? They're going to throw a fit. There's going to be some drama, but it'll get better. And so we have to say, you know what? I'm not going to accept this anymore. This is not healthy. We're not going to accept this in our relationship anymore. And then we have to define what we expect. And Andy Stanley says this. He says, every relationship has a gap between what we expect and what we experience. Right? And you all, guys that are married, you see this. You know, when you're first married, you think, oh, everything's going to be this and this and this. And then reality sets in, right? Marriage is a lot of work. It's great, but it's work. And so it's the same thing parenting. You bring that kid home, you're like, oh, and then the diapers happen, right? So we understand there's a gap between what we expect and what we get. And so in relationships, guys, we have to define what we expect. We're not going to do this anymore. We have to define our expectations in a healthy way. And so here's the deal, guys. When we define our expectations, we renegotiate the relationship dynamics. When I say this is what we expect, and I encourage you to do this in your marriage. If there's some unhealthy things, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we expect. We're going to say I love you every day. We're going to say goodnight when we go to bed. We're going to pray together in the mornings. When we define these things, we renegotiate. And so we have to do this. And guys, some of us have friends that we're going to have to start setting boundaries with to make them healthy. Hey, don't call me after 11 anymore at night, right? Unless you're dying or in a ditch, don't call me, right? I don't want to know what TV show you're watching at 11 o'clock. I'm going to bed, right? Those kind of things. And here's the deal. Here's the biggest thing. We must love people enough to give tough love. We have to give them tough love. Not because we want to hurt them, but because we want to help them. And guys, sometimes the kindest thing we can do is give tough love. Is it easy? No. Sometimes when we rescue people from consequences, we're not actually helping them. And so sometimes we're going to have to say, hey, look, I love you, but this relationship can't be this anymore. This friendship can't be this anymore. This business partnership can't be this anymore. We're going to have to renegotiate what we're doing. We have to find a healthy way forward because I can't be controlled by you anymore. And guys, some of us might be the controller. There might be people that come up to us and say, hey, look, I know you don't mean to. I know you're not trying to be that, but this is what you're doing, and we can't do this anymore. And so we want to see where life goes. And guys, here's the thing. Some people have never been taught how to be in a healthy relationship. Some people just don't know. This is the way they grew up. Some people saw this in their home, and they think this is normal. And so we have to, again, no, this is what we expect. This is what we're going to accept. This is what this relationship would be like. And I always tell people when they start a dating relationship to define what they want. I want this to be a healthy, life-giving dating relationship. And these are going to be our standards. These are going to be where we're at. This is going to keep this healthy. We're going to do this. And this is how this is going to be. And it is amazing because they always say, oh, that's so awkward. Yeah, it is. But it's great awkward because then it gets better after that, right? Once you have that conversation, there's no more awkward conversations quite that awkward. So I'm going to ask the worship team if they want to come up. And if you're able, would you stand? And so as we've been talking this morning, some of you might have had a relationship pop up. God brings something to mind, and he's saying, you know what, this is not healthy. The way this is going isn't good, and I want you to fix this. And so I'm not going to ask you to say, yeah, my relationship with my spouse is unhealthy, my relationship with my kids is unhealthy, my relationship in the workplace is not healthy, but I want you to pray about it. And if there's something going on in one of those relationships, we're just going to say a real simple prayer. Lord, would you help us to fix this? So Lord, right now, all across this room, I just pray for every single one of us here, every single one of us watching online. I know these are not easy conversations, but Lord, so many of us have people in our lives that are controlling in one way or another, whether it's through manipulation, whether it's through threats, whether it's through tantrums, but whatever that is, God, I pray you bring those things to mind today, because your goal for us is to have life and have it more abundantly. And Lord, you want us to have healthy relationships, whether it's with our spouse, with our kids, with our parents, with our friends, with our coworkers. But Lord, I know that you want us to have healthy relationships. And Lord, if there are some of us here struggling today with either being controlled or being the controller, help us to never settle for less than your best. And so I pray you would help us to do the negotiating that we need to do the healing that we need to do. So with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you say, you know, Pastor Rex, I don't have this relationship with Christ you've been talking about. I've never asked Jesus to forgive my sins, but I want to start that today. I want to start this relationship with Christ today. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? We just want to pray with you this morning. Or if you're here this morning, say, you know what? There's a relationship in my life that's unhealthy, and I just need God to work on that. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? We're not going to ask who it is. We just want to pray. We want you to be free. All right. So I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want something, if you have something that you want someone to pray for as we're doing this last song, you can come up to the front. Someone would love to meet you and pray with you. Now, you don't have to say what it is or who it is, but they'd love to pray for you this morning. But Lord, right now, I just pray for all those that raise their hands this morning. For those who need to recommit their life to you, Lord, would you help them to do that today, to make things right between you and them? And Lord, for those who need health in relationships, they have a relationship that's unhealthy. God, would you help them to renegotiate what it is, to do what needs to be done to make that a healthy relationship today? I pray for freedom. I pray for wisdom. I pray for boldness. And I pray for your very best in our lives today. In Jesus' name.